The intro to summer scouting continues. Is the 2024 wide receiver class 10 times better than what we saw during the 2023 NFL draft? We're going to rank and talk about these guys and look at them from a variety of aspects next on the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast.
You are Locked On NFL Draft, your daily podcast covering the NFL draft. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
What's up, Locked On family? Welcome back to the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast, your daily podcast covering your favorite draft prospects, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm your boy, Damian Parson, always on the ones and twos. You can find me on Twitter at DP_NFL. I'm a national scout with the Draft Network and your favorite and local running back guru. And as always, the champ is here, Mr. LSU himself, my boy Keith Sanchez. You can find him on Twitter at The Talent Code. Keith, talk to him, baby.
What's up, Locked On family? This is Keith Sanchez, senior draft analyst with the Draft Network, man, and 2019 national champ. Yes, with those LSU Tigers, man, but you know why we're here. We're here to bring championship-level content surrounded the NFL draft. Like we say, the draft don't stop, baby. The draft don't stop. So we're talking 2024, and this is intro, right? So yesterday we went over the quarterbacks, kind of talked about the contenders, the QB1, some guys that may sneak up on you, that your team may have to draft next year, right? But this time we're going to get into those playmakers. Yes, the guys outside, the wide receivers, the guys that are making $30 million per year now in the NFL, man. So, DP, I want to kick this off with the wide receiver one conversation, right? Not who is wide receiver one, but kind of the main names and then some surrounding names. So, we know that Marvin Harrison Jr., he is the toast of the town, right? Everybody's talking about him. He's the best wide receiver since throwing any Hall of Fame name, right? But I have a question, DP. Are there any contenders, right? In the sense of the fact of, is his teammate, Emeka Egbuka, somebody that can contend for that number one receiver spot?
First of all, before I get in there, I want to give a quick shout out to our everydayers, man. Thank y'all for making Locked On NFL Draft your first listen every day, Monday through Friday. But to that question, Keith, I'm going to say it's not outside of the realm of possibilities, because at the end of the day, it's all about preference, right? It's all like the taste of the town, what you prefer. I remember I can't remember the year, but it was a year with Jerry Jeudy, CeeDee Lamb, Henry Ruggs, and all those boys, you know, them boys came into the draft, right? And I think wide receiver one off the board was who? Henry Ruggs. It wasn't CeeDee Lamb. It wasn't Jerry Jeudy. You know what I'm saying? It caught everybody off guard, because what did the Raiders want? They wanted speed. So when you look at these two receivers, it's like, okay, I know what MHJ, Marvin Harrison Jr., 6'4", 205. He's probably running around 4'5". But Emeka Buka is supposedly in between the 4'3", 4'4", range in terms of speed. And his ability after the catch, the explosiveness that he's going to bring to an offense as a quick option, as well as an option down the field as well. So I'm gonna say it's not outside the realm of possibilities, but for a betting man, which I am not, but if I was, I'm not betting that he's going to take wide receiver one from his teammate MHJ.
All right, DP, I appreciate you playing the politics, man, and keeping it real political. That was a good answer, right? You know, what the NFL may do, we've seen the NFL do crazy things. We're not talking about the NFL, DP. I'm talking to Damian Parsons. In Damian Parsons' opinion, is Marvin Harrison the runaway wide receiver one in this class?
Well, since you worded like that, yes, he is. To me, he is, man. I watched this show.
That's what
I gotta get. If that's what they want to know, I gotta give the people what they want, Keith. I gotta get what they want. No, I mean, man, MHJ, bro, like nuanced. He has pretty much all of it, bro. Yeah, trust me, if he ran for it, if he goes to the combine next in 2024 of March and busts a 4.4, like, you know, it won't be any discussions. But I don't think he's gonna have that type of speed. But everything else is there: the ball skills, the route running, the separation. He's a really good blocker. He can create yards after the catch himself as well. A three-level receiver, play on the outside and the inside. You know, everything. And when you watch him against top-tier competition, man, he gave Kelee Ringo everything he could handle. You know what I mean? In what I call the actual national championship game. Because what we saw versus TCU was not the national championship. So, like, in the real national championship game, like, he gave that, not just Keely Ringo, anybody they put across from Marvin Harrison Jr., especially in that first half prior to him getting hurt in the middle portion of that game, if I remember correctly. But just the ball track, everything's there for him, Keith. So you talk about being the best friend to a quarterback, a guy that you are the security blanket, you're the reliable weapon that, hey, I want to give you 12 targets a game, right? That's the type of guy that you draft to give 12 targets a game in your NFL offense, because he does everything. And it's in his bloodline, man. His dad is one of the greatest receivers of all time. And typically, Keith, that's so hard for young players to follow those footsteps. You know what I mean? To meet that expectation. But if there's one young man I think that can meet that expectation, I think it's Marvin Harrison Jr., Keith.
Yeah, and I would say this, Mary, talking about his father. He, when you watch his approach, right, and just who he is as a person, he has that same type of mentality, right? Like, just work. Like, there's not a lot going on. I'm just putting in work. Like, I don't need to do a lot of talking. I'm just putting in work, right? In the offseason, I'm putting in work. Not a lot of social media stuff. I'm just putting in work. And I think that's one of the more intriguing things. And I think when it comes down to these wide receiver battles or positional battles, period, those type of things matter when it comes to the NFL, when it comes to our personal opinion, when it comes to ranking guys and how they will project. But DP, we mentioned Emeka Egbuka as a potential challenger. Is there anyone that you feel can really jump into that elite tier? Because there are a lot of good wide receivers, and we're going to get into those. But is there one name that stands out to you that's like, this guy can potentially do it?
Well, I'm gonna tee it right back up to you. A guy that I've seen in spurts down, you know, in your neck of the woods, Malik Nabers, Keith. You know, that I watched this young man, you know, against Bama, watched a couple games of him, you know, during the season, you know, during the draft cycle this year, and DBs that he had to face in the SEC, because I had a ton of them in my region for 2023. And this was a baller, man. Like, everything I saw from explosive, ball skills, everything, Keith. But I know that you watched him a lot closer than I did. What were some of your takeaways when it came down to Malik Nabers? Is he really that much better than a Kayshon Boutte?
We're gonna leave a cliffhanger there, dude. We're definitely gonna talk about it, man. But we have to transition to the next segment, man. We're gonna talk about that. First up, man, we get into Malik Nabers and who he is as a prospect, just surface level, and if he does have the potential, from my opinion, to jump into that conversation, it wouldn't be rare territory, right? We're talking about LSU wide receivers, right? That's what we do, man. Wide receiver, you. So coming up next, man, we're going to get into Malik Nabers and his potential to challenge for that number one wide receiver position.
Guys, if you're looking for a delicious snack but don't want all the sugar and calories, and you need to give the best tasting protein bar ever a try, and that's Built Bar, Built Puffs. If you're like me and you want to make healthier snack choices but you don't want to compromise on taste, which I totally understand, then I got just a thing for you guys. Built Bars and Built Puffs, they're healthy and they taste amazing, and they taste so amazing that you really won't even notice that they're actually good for you. So I promise you, you want to give it a try. What makes Built Bars so good? They are covered in 100% real dark chocolate. You heard me correct, 100% real dark chocolate, with unbelievable flavors like churro, peanut butter brownie, as I always tell you, my favorite, cookies and cream. So guys, you can do like me, go to your local Walmart and get a 4-bar box, or go to your local Sam's Club and get a 13-bar box of the specialty flavors there, or you can allow us to help you by going to builtbar.com and using our promo code LOCKEDON15, and you'll get 15% off your next order. All right, Keith, Malik Nabers, you on the spot. What's going on?
You know, when it's a wide receiver at LSU, I have no problem with having this conversation, right? listen. It's definitely there, man. The potential is definitely there, because I see a guy, you know, off initial watching, you know, having watched Kayshon, he catches your eye to Malik Nabers. You see a guy, short area quickness. You see an explosive guy, a guy that's competitive at the catch point, right? Run after catch ability. Some people down here in this neck of the woods have compared him to Jamar Chase-esque in the sense of the fact of because he has that thicker lower body, that thick frame, but he's also an explosive football player. And what that thick frame allows for what? It's hard for cornerbacks to tackle you, right? You're a naturally strong person. You can go across the middle, right? And things like that. So in that perspective, I think he can – I would put dark horse for wide receiver one, right? I wouldn't say just flat-out contender, but I would put dark horse because I think Marvin Harrison Jr. still has some of the measurements right, the route running and things like that. And then LSU with Jaden Daniels, we have to see where he stands. So Malik Nabers, I would definitely put as a dark horse contender. But DP, let's keep rolling these names, man. We have Johnny Wilson from Florida State. We have Rome Odunze from Washington. What are those names, right? Like, are those potential guys that you can see making a lot of noise this upcoming fall and, you know, production and being able to elevate themselves?
I think so. You know, especially with Rome Odunze over there in Washington. Michael Penix out there throwing that pigskin around in the Pac-12, man. Yeah. It's going to be a lot. And then he's got a teammate in Jalen McMillan that you can't just you know what I'm saying? You can't double him. Like, you got to kind of play him honest, man. So, like, they're going to be able to put up a lot of numbers. You know, another three-level type of receiver. Really talented kid, Romeo. But, Johnny Wilson, like, I don't recall any draft that had one 6'7". Wide receiver. This potential draft has multiple 6'7" wide receivers. And Johnny Wilson at Florida State with Jordan Travis, who we talked about with the quarterback conversation yesterday, I'm really intrigued by him. Man, the because you think about it, right? What's the quarterback's best friend? That back shoulder fade to their big body receiver. You know what happens with a guy like Johnny Wilson? He can look for the ball and not tell you that the ball is coming. He don't give you no telltales. Until you just see him just reach back real quick and snatch the ball out of the air. You're not even in position to turn around. I remember watching the I think it was from spring training, one of their practices, where he caught a back shoulder fade over one of the DBs.
Yeah,
one, he made the DB look like he was a high schooler. Keith, this man is 6'7". And I know some people, you know, and I'm going to ask you, I know some people will look at him and say, man, do y'all think he is he a wide receiver or is he a tight end, Keith? So I know that you asked because you thought he was going to come out this previous draft. In 2023, and I know you did a scouting report on him for us over at the Draft Network. What, like, is he a wide receiver to you, Keith? Do you think he can live in that position?
I think he can live there, but this is the key. Okay. I'm gonna throw out a name, right? And you have to pick up what I'm putting down. Mm-hmm. Kyle Pitts, boom. Throw out that name, and the reason I'm throwing that name out is this: because we had the same conversation about Kyle Pitts, right? Is this guy a big wide receiver? Or is he a tight end? Probably measurables. They're probably similar. Kyle Pitts may be a tad bit more athletic, but Johnny Wilson is still a really good athlete. And we're talking about the usage, right? You can use them the same exact way. You can align Kyle Pitts on the outside, and if he gets matched up with linebackers or some safeties, it's a clear and obvious mismatch. You see the same thing for Johnny Wilson, 6'7", 230 pounds, right? He can beat linebackers and safeties. Then when you put them, you know, you condense them inside to play in the slot, things like that, various alignments, stack alignments, and all those, like you just talked about, right? A big target, but not just a big target on the outside. Now he can work the middle of your field. So I thought about Kyle Pitts, and you thought about the value, because Kyle Pitts, I believe, was the number one. Was he the number one receiver threat taken off the board? Like
why I believe so. I think he was
in that draft. So this is why we have the conversation, right? And this is something I'm going to continue to hit home. I'm going to pull up the measurables. But as we were having this conversation, this is something that came up to me. And I'm like, well, hell, if Kyle Pitts went top four, top five, right? If Johnny Wilson shows the same type of production, athleticism, physically dominant, right? Is there potential for him to slide into that number one spot? Because people are going to be looking at it. And we know it's key, right? What is key is that Kyle Pitts has to have a good year. It's a monkey see, monkey do business when it comes to the NFL personnel, NFL draft, and GMs. So if Kyle Pitts has a good year this year, right, with Arthur Smith, then I think you can slide Johnny Wilson's name up the board even more because somebody's going to try to replicate that.
Now, I like that, Keith. And I remember when I was asked about, you know, Johnny playing tight end, the name, I was like, okay, if he does, this is what I'm a believer in, Keith. Similar to tackle, right? With like a Peter Skoronski or any shorter arm tackle. If it's not like, yeah, you can't have 29-inch arms playing tackle. Like, you know what I mean? Nothing crazy like that. But just you're a little bit shy of that threshold. I said, you play them at tackle until they fail. If you put them in camp and they succeed, why not leave them there until they actually fail at that position? And that's how I feel about Johnny Wilson. You let him play wide receiver until he fails, until he proves to you he's not a wide receiver. Then, Keith, you brought up Kyle Pitts. I'm going to bring up another name. It's not a throwback, but, you know, some people might forget. Again, in your neck of the woods, Jimmy Graham, when he was with the Saints. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? If you want to play him at tight end, if that's the direction you want to go once he's in the league, you get a Jimmy Graham-esque type of player where Jimmy Graham wasn't a devastating blocker. He was more receiver than blocker, but he was one of the best receiving tight ends that we've seen in such a long time. You know what I mean? That the basketball skills, the athleticism, everything that he had. So, but I'm with you. I think he can live on the outside. And I think he can live as a receiver. I think you just move him around. Play him outside. You play him inside. He's one of those guys that you look at him and you just allow him to be your coverage dictator, where you start motioning him pre-snap and see where they're going in terms of who's covering him. You know what I mean? Like if he's out wide, you start moving him around to the opposite side of formation. If that guy travels with him, okay, that's letting your quarterback know we got man to man. But if nobody, they just bump down the gap, okay, we got zone. So it allowed, because when you 6'7", 230, anytime you walk out of the huddle, baby, you got all 11, even the defensive linemen are looking at you like, bro, this dude is bigger than me. Like, you know what I mean? So like they got eyes on you as well. So I think that's a big thing. But, you know, even in this conversation, we talked about Emeka. I think Emeka, you know, like I said, you know, just I'm going to say this, Keith. This wide receiver class is better than the 2023 wide receiver class.
You already stamped it.
I'm stamping that right now, baby. I'm stamping that. Because we walked into the 2023 NFL draft where you got the likes of Jim Nagy and everybody else like, man, you know, NFL only got one wide receiver graded as a first-round pick. Mind you, I predicted that on our preview show that the four guys that went in the first round would go in the first round, but it's a film factor more so need and surplus, right? You know what I mean? So it's like teams needed wide receiver twos. All four of the teams that drafted those receivers got wide receiver twos that some of them could be potentially wide receiver ones. This class is a definite wide receiver one. There's a definite wide receiver two. There's a battle for two. You know what I mean? If MHJ is one, Keith, then you got the likes of Neighbors, Wilson, Ibuka, Romeo, and there's going to be other guys that's going to pop out. Troy Franklin from Oklahoma. You know, I don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves because we still got another segment. But that wide receiver two battle is going to be probably one of the more fun battles that we will watch in the 2023 college football season.
Yeah, no, I agree. And it's the reason of the wide receiver one is such a polarizing name. And then if you ask people, well, who's the second best? People throw their hands up, right? They don't know. Like, and it's just so many names to throw in there. So it's definitely going to be some names that's going to emerge. But DP, listen, man, we almost showed our hand right there, man. We almost showed our hand for the next segment, but you was able to pull it back and we was able to play these cards, man. So coming up next, man, DP almost hinted at it. We're going to go talk about not necessarily wide receivers that can challenge for the wide receiver one position, right? But just depth guys, because the second round matters, right? The third round matters. The back end of the first round matters. And if we have a talented group, we can see six wide receivers go in this first round. So we want to go deep into the rest of these names, these guys that have shown to already be playmakers, production, you know, they're proven in college football, and now they just need one more year to kind of stamp their names as high-level draft picks. So coming up next, man, we're getting into those guys that not many people are talking about, but they have a shot at challenging for the back end of the first round and second round wide receiver prospects.
You know how you know what we say, man. It's time to wake them up, Keith, on these sleeper receivers that they need to get to know this summer. And I kind of hinted at him, you know, in the last second, at the end of the last second, but Troy Franklin from Oregon, man, you know, a guy that for Bo Nix, that's his number one receiver, a guy that can stretch the field. He tracks the ball well, kind of thinner in the frame, you know, in terms of his build. If I remember correctly, Keith, I believe he was, you know, sub 180, like 6'3", you know, 178. You know, they projected him around the 4'3", 4'4". He's a burner. He can take the top off of a defense. But I think he runs good enough routes to separate on his own without the speed aspect being the biggest proponent of him creating separation. So a guy that I think could really, you know, really help himself being that number one option with a Bo Nix who's returning. I think them boys already having their chemistry. I'm looking forward to seeing how well he can play heading into the 2023 college football season and the 2024 NFL draft cycle.
Okay, cool. Look, I'm going to kick this thing off, DP, one of my names, man. It is a guy from Louisiana. That's why I tell you, like, we produce such good athletes, man. It may be the most talented area in all of the country. but I'm going to go with Michigan State. He went to Michigan State. Is in the transfer portal right now, trying to figure out where he's going to go. And that is Keon Coleman. That is a name pull. You're talking about guy that's 6'3", has a vertical jump out this world. Physically impressive football player. He's just looking for a home. So if he goes to the right place, we're talking Texas with Keon Coleman, right? We're talking Florida State with Jordan Travis. We're talking all of these different places. If he gets the production, I think he's another first-round S-type wide receiver because he has the physical attributes to back everything up. The next name I want to bring up, DP, is I'm talking about Texas again. Adonai Mitchell. Speed. Another player that can just take the top off. And, man, I watched Quinn Ewers, right? We're in summer scouting now, so I checked him out this morning. Quinn Ewers is the quarterback that could get him the football. He's going to be able to get him the football. Steve Sarkisian with the play designs, these three-level, these bootleg concepts that they run, I really like, I really enjoy. Quinn Ewers can deliver the football. He's accurate, ball placement, everything else. So this is another guy you have to watch out. And can I just go third? I'm going to go 3 for 3.
Go ahead.
Xavier Worthy, once again, Texas. Can y'all wonder where I think Texas may finish in the Big 12, right? All of these doggone playmakers. Another guy, explosive, reminds everybody of who? Hollywood Brown, right? Just, short area quickness, take the top off. Not a very big guy, but he runs routes. He gives it to the defensive backs every single time. You can tell they fear him. So this is another guy that's just, like you said, watch for another name to emerge, just throughout this process. And I believe with Hollywood Brown, did he go in the first round? Was he a first
round?
He's a first round pick. That's why I said we're still pulling names, right, to where if they have the production, this thing can definitely shift one way or another. But those are my three names, DP, for this, that I kind of feel like, okay, these are some challenging names. I don't know if you have another one or two left in your bucket.
I do, Keith. Like you said, we like to really showcase the range on this show. Our range is up there with Steph Curry and Damian Lillard in the NBA. We shoot from 40 and 50. We're pulling up from 40 here, Keith. Jacob Cowing over there at Arizona. And the one of the bigger proponents I've noticed with this wide receiver class, Keith, last year, like we talked about, it was a ton of smaller guys. Oh, this class got size. This class has more 6'2", 6'3", receivers. But shout out, I want to give my shorter kings some love. Jacob Cowing, 5'11", 175, good route runner, legitimate speed, 4.4 type of athlete over at Arizona. And they kind of run like a spread offense. They're going to get the ball to him in space, down the field, all three levels, everything, man. Run after the catch opportunities. A guy over at USC, man, Mario Williams, another guy who transferred from Oklahoma, with Lincoln Riley, 5'9", 185 pounds, but another guy that can win with routes, but win with speed. I think he's more of like a slot receiver and manufactured touch guy, but something that could be very dangerous in space, Keith.
But DP, there was something, Keith, I need to point out, man. You said, shout out to my short kings, and then you went on to say my guy was 5'11". So 5'11" is now short now. Like
for wide receivers, yes.
Everybody in together, that's crazy, man.
No, we don't discriminate. If you sub 6 foot, you a short king, baby. We taking it, man. You know what I'm saying? But no, I'm looking at it, man. And one guy, a name that I want people, like I said, pull them from 40. I want people to understand. Moose Muhammad III, and this is Musin Muhammad's son. This young man can ball, guys. I'm telling you right now. And the game that if you really want to see what he can do, go to Texas A&M versus Alabama. You see a matchup in the slot versus Alabama second round pick Brian Branch, and he was giving Brian Branch everything he could in that game. He was giving them two piece of biscuit, got a drink on the side. He was giving them everything. And that's when it really caught my eye when I was studying Brian Branch. And I wrote this kid's name down. And I think of course, Texas A&M has Anaya Smith, who's a converted running back to slot receiver. But I think Moose Muhammad III should be their wide receiver one for Texas A&M. Now, of course, the quarterback situation will be key. But I think 6'1", 195, a guy that expected to run in the 4'4 range. This is a young man that's talented, Keith, and he could ball. Like father, like son.
Now, I was able to get eyes on him a little bit too, watching, you know, just the SEC West, watching Bama, LSU, those teams like that. And Duke could definitely ball. And I remember him from high school. I think he was in the North Carolina area out of high school, which makes sense because his father played for the Carolina Panthers, right? But definitely a talented guy. We looked at this list, man. We rattled off maybe 10 to 12 names. And this thing is just getting started. Like I said, we didn't even dive all the way into these guys. This is surface level, right? This is not rankings. This is just ballers, right? And we are extremely excited about this class. DP already pounded the table, made his statement. He said, listen, it's only May. It's May 17th, May 16th, May 15th, whatever May it is. And he said that this class is already better than the next year, than last year's class. So I'm excited. Everyone should be excited, man. Playmakers, we know we love those guys that can, you know, just make plays with the footballs in the hand.
Of course, of course. I'm stamping it. Dame stamp of approval, 2024 over 2023. Let's get the campaign going. You know what I mean? I'm on my politician move right now, Keith. But as always, guys, we appreciate all the love and support. Go subscribe and follow for free on YouTube or wherever you listen to podcasts to get the latest episode as soon as it's available. Thank y'all for making Locked On NFL Draft your first listen today and every day, every Monday through Friday. You know what we tell you? You're not only family to us, but you are our everydayers, and we appreciate and love y'all. In terms of Twitter, you can find Keith Sanchez at The Talent Code. I'm Damian Parson, DP_NFL. Come and join the conversation again tomorrow on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.